Nerds and geeks, hold on to your seats because it's about to go down.
Welcome to Nerdorama, the voice of the Nerd Nation. I'm Mo Kelly, he's Tawala Sharp, and together we bring you your daily dose of nerd news, analysis, and conversations with the best and brightest of the nerdverse.
She was working in a bridal shop in Flushing, Queens, till her boyfriend kicked her out in one of those crushing scenes. What was she to do? Where was she to go? She was out on her fanny. So over the bridge from Flushing to the Sheffield's door, she was there to sell makeup, but the father saw more. She had style, she had flair, she was there. That's how she became the nanny.
Summer is here, and many families are facing different types of challenges due to new restrictions and, of course, shutdowns. Parents may be worried about their children. They might be losing out in preparation for the fall, but there are ways you can help your kids and have fun with them, too, at the same time. Florence Ann Romano, the Windy City Nanny, is an author, philanthropist, and child care expert who has always had a special place in her heart for children. Her YouTube series, Windy City Nanny, sheds light on the variety of child care challenges we see across the nation.
I'm Florence Ann Romano, author and child care expert. After spending over 15 years as a nanny, I've learned a thing or two about families. Now I'm on a mission. To empower parents and their children. Join me as I meet families with everyday challenges, offering up my best tips and giving them the encouragement they need and deserve.
First and foremost, take care of yourself, because that's going to be the most important thing for your child.
It's not always easy.
I feel like I've gotten so far behind.
I just want to be the best example for my kids.
But opening ourselves up to let love in just makes us stronger.
You have a village of people to help you. I'll help you.
It takes a lot of courage. But when we get down to the heart of the matter, the ups and downs, the challenges and triumphs, that's when breakthroughs happen.
That is really sweet.
This is the Windy City Nanny.
And it's my pleasure via Zoom to welcome Florence Ann Romano to the program with ways to creatively educate and entertain kids this summer. Florence Ann, it's a pleasure to finally speak with you. How are you doing, all things considered, going on around the nation?
Oh, it's such a pleasure to be with you. I am doing well. Listen, if I'm with you today, that's a good day. So I am doing well. And here in the Windy City of Chicago, things are a little calmer now, which is good. And, you know, every day you're just grateful. You're grateful for it, no matter what.
Absolutely. I can imagine. Is it humid there yet?
You know what? We've actually been having some beautiful weather lately. I was outside earlier and it had a nice breeze, but, you know, then a thunderstorm rolled in. So, you know, you only get a few minutes in Chicago of that bliss, but I'll take it.
All right. I know what you mean. Beyond that, child care and child rearing are challenging any year, but doing so in 2020 is something altogether different. I think we might agree. A mother is now also the teacher and entertainment coordinator, and many times having to navigate her own career in the process. But what are some of the other challenges for mothers or nannies specifically, given this pandemic, and how might those challenges be addressed going forward?
Well, first of all, big shout out to those parents who did all that e-learning and got through it, and yay, yay, yay. And now everyone has their fingers and toes crossed that the kids go back to school in the fall. And that's a different state to state. We just found out in Chicago, our governor told us that they are set to go back to school in the fall, the kiddos here in Illinois. So let's see what happens. But I think mostly what's happening right now with parents is they're worried, oh no, do I have to do that all over again next year? And this summer, they don't want to be bogged down with having to entertain their kids anymore. They still have to work or work from home or go to work or whatever it might be. So I really want to encourage parents to understand something. It is not your job to entertain those kids 24/7. It's not school anymore. You need to encourage kids to have independent play. That's where they use their imagination. And what I mean by that is they can have a dance party. They can write a play and put it on for the neighbors, and they can have a virtual book club, and they could kick it old school, go play outside in the sprinklers,
hey.
Or, you know, play with Play-Doh. I mean, I feel like we live in this world now where it's like you need to entertain your kids at the highest level and everything needs to be picture perfect on Etsy and Instagram. No, let's simplify. The world right now is all about simplifying and finding the pleasure of being together in a simple way, in a meaningful way. So I want parents to hear me really clearly when I say that. Please don't put more pressure on yourselves right now than you already have.
There is that fiscal component that you touched upon. There is that entertainment component. But I also know that there is a social and emotional component. I remember being a child, as you do, but my fear was always connected to instability. I can only imagine that the pandemic has been unsettling for children in the sense of disruption to their daily lives, their routines, their friendships. How would you recommend, or if at all, would you recommend having these conversations? Because it changes from month to month as far as what we know as adults and understand and how we filter that down to children. How do you talk to children about going back to school or having limited contact with their friends?
It's very difficult because we always talk about families or parents rather having a village or needing a village, and children need a village too. They have their buddies, they have their peers that they count on in a lot of different ways. And so talking about the emotional ramifications of this, the mental ramifications and consequences of this, I think is very important. And the way I want to set this up for parents is I want you to think about the most important part of this first, which is your example. You, the parents, the guardians, the nannies, whoever it is, your example of how you're handling this mentally and emotionally is going to permeate those children. So if you have the news on 24/7 and it's a lot of nervous energy and they're picking up on key words about mortality and death and germs and disease and all of this negativity, you think that children somehow are sequestered from that or turn it off. They don't. And they're picking up on the energy you're giving off. So remember first and foremost that they are watching you. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to be scared, parents. It doesn't mean you're not allowed to have anxiety. I'm just saying let your emotions and your mental stability pass through a few kind of censoring gates before you start talking to your children about it and before you start exhibiting behavior. Children need to know they're in a safe place. They need to know they're secure. They also need to know that they can come to you with anything. They can talk to you about anything that's on their brain or on their heart. And you have to create that environment for them. And you know what, parents? It's also okay if you don't know the answer. That to say to your child, you know, I don't know, and I understand that you're scared. You know, sometimes mommy or daddy gets scared too, but you're safe and we love you and you're going to be okay. And, you know, reassuring them, it's okay for you not to have to be perfect all the time, and right. Let your children see those flaws, if you want to even call it that. It's not flaws, it's being human. So I really am just really encouraging parents right now to be transparent with your children, but remember first and foremost, you are that role model and they are picking up on your energy.
I'm quite sure there are a number of people listening right now who either do or do not have a nanny and are making considerations for both, given this, we're still navigating the pandemic and COVID-19. What are some of the advantages that people may not have considered to just having a nanny in the first place?
I am a big believer in nannies, obviously. I was one for 15 years. And I love the idea of nannies because it's one-on-one attention with somebody. Daycares right now are in such a precarious position because, unfortunately, basically 90% of daycares are privately owned. And because of the pandemic and the economic ramifications of that, a lot of them aren't going to be reopening. So those wait lists for those that are reopening are longer, and you're going to have to figure out childcare. And a nanny is a great way to do that. Even a nanny share program where you can split a nanny with another family is a great idea, as long as you feel comfortable considering the CDC guidelines. But I would definitely consider a nanny right now to help you get some normalcy back, to let you, at least in a part, even if it's part-time, be able to have time to yourself as parents where you need to work or whatever it is that you need to do. And also giving your children another role model in their life, giving them another person to play with and make memories with. It's definitely peace of mind for you. But I understand that it's hard to think about bringing maybe a stranger into the house right now, which is why I want to challenge people with the fact that a nanny's not always a stranger. Oftentimes right. It can be a grandparent, can be a next door neighbor, can be someone like that. So if you're considering having a nanny, think about what that definition of nanny means to you and what it could do to bring you peace of mind in your household.
We talked about this now in a general sense of making sure our kids are entertained and educated as we move through the summer. But between June and September or late August, there's a lot of time in between. Let's drill down and talk about some specific ways you might recommend to both educate and entertain kids beyond handing them an iPad and hooking them up to the internet.
Well, let's start with the education part. I know a lot of parents are worried about their kids being behind. Here's the good news. Every child in America's in the same boat. Everybody's going to be a little bit behind when you go back in the fall. So don't worry. The teachers are going to catch them up. But if you were a child like me when I was younger, where math was the bane of my existence and I needed as much help.
Yes.
Yeah, right? Okay, there you go. I need as much help as I can get. I would say have a college student or high school student that's home right now. They can tutor your kid maybe for a few hours a week or whatever it is. There's always time for education, and I absolutely believe in making time during the summer for education, whether that's catching you up this summer or in normal circumstances, that's helping you prepare for the next year. So take advantage of the kids that are home right now to maybe help you out in that capacity virtually or in person. But then as for the fun, like I said, kick it old school. You want to teach children that they can use that imaginative play to their benefit, using their imaginations, not having to entertain them all the time. And like I said, you could do different crafts and things like that, but camps, and you know, camps are something kids love. They don't have them as much this summer, but they do different themed weeks at camps, and you can do that at home. You can have under the sea, and maybe you're going to have seafood one night for dinner, or maybe they're going to do a scavenger hunt that's all nautically based, or whatever it might be. You can make these fun moments for your kids with about it being such a hard labor of love for you, truthfully, parents, because I know you need a little bit of a summer off too, if you even get that as a parent. But also, don't worry if you need to plug into technology a bit. This is not the time to be disconnecting from technology. We need it more than ever, and I know parents need it for their sanity. So look into different apps that have like virtual reality and things like that that are educational and also very fun for kids. There are so many options today when it comes to that. So take a sniff around and see what you can find.
I remember when I was a kid going through the summer, and we usually had either a summer reading list that teachers would give to us, depending on how old students were, or we would have a book club of sorts. Do kids still gravitate towards books, or are they encouraged to read long form books and novels like we used to once upon a time?
I think the frequency of reading is probably not the same as we're used to. But yes, they still have a curriculum. They still have summer reading to do, which is why a virtual book club or an in-person book club would be great. You know, parents, even if you want to do some reading, I know my mom with us when we were younger would oftentimes read the books that we were reading in school. So she would have be able to kind of talk about those books with us. And it was part of bonding, and it was part of her getting to know kind of, you know, what we were thinking and feeling as we read certain things. She read the whole Harry Potter series with my youngest sister, and they both like loved it. It was such a bonding experience they still talk about to this day. So I think reading is so important for many different reasons, but it is a way for parents to bond with their children from a young age. And then also as they get older, you know, there is something to be said about the written word and what that does for you developmentally as you get older. It never stops teaching you. It expands your vocabulary, expands your imagination. So if you're going to do anything this summer, parents, get those kids reading.
Florence Ann Romano, let me leave you with it, what I call a professional personal question. We have all gone through this pandemic together in the sense of this is all new. We don't recognize the wallpaper, as they say. What has this moment taught you or added to your skill set professionally that you will be able to take forward in your career?
What an amazing question. I wish I had loads of time to answer it. But the truth is, I think the Fred Rogers line, when things are falling apart or things are scary, you look for the helpers. And I think that's what I have found during this pandemic. There are so many helpers in so many forms that even when things look bleak or grim regarding humanity or just in general, I see a beautiful humanitarian movement happening because of the pandemic. I believe that most people are good. That's the truth. And I think I'm going to carry that with me for years to come, that after this pandemic, I think I realized just how caring and empathetic and compassionate people really are.
How can people find you in social media and beyond?
My website is WindyCityNanny.com, and I'm all over social media as well, WindyCityNanny. If you DM me on Instagram, I always message you back. So please don't hesitate to reach out. Any and all questions are welcome. I'm here for you.
She is Florence Ann Romano. I'm sorry, but I'm from an age when I ever hear the name Romano, you know what I'm thinking, right?
Is it Ray Romano?
Not only that, but Ann Romano of One Day at a Time.
And oh, so, oh gosh, yes. The original, yes.
Right. So all of it just, you know, it's like, anyhow, I'm just showing my age right now.
No, not at all. You're as young as can be. It's all about your spirit anyway, and it's so young.
Well, I appreciate you. It has been a pleasure to speak with you today, and I wish you nothing but success and health going forward. Let's make sure we get to do this again sometime in the future.
I would love to. Anytime.
Hey there, this is Marcia Collier, your official Nerdorama Tech reporter. Welcome to day 107 of Stay at Home. That's right, we've been staying at home for 107 days. By the way, that didn't stop the Los Angeles court from sending me a jury summons for July 20th. I don't think I'll be going, but, you know, somebody thinks we're going to get out of this soon, but it seems to be going longer and longer. And are you bored? So many people are bored, but they're becoming more and more creative. They're learning their tech. They're playing with things. So I decided for this week's Tech Thursday, before the 4th of July, I was going to give you a few fun things to do that could eat up some time and help you in your everyday life. The first thing I found is absolutely incredible. When I found it, all I could think of was Tech Thursday, Nerdorama people, would really, really love this, and I can't think of a better activity for the 4th of July than to do this. So Google now has augmented reality in the camera of your phone, which is pretty amazing by itself, but it's going to allow you to see from 10 dinosaurs, including Tyrannosaurus Rex, Velociraptor, Triceratops. You can see all these guys in your backyard because, you see, augmented reality isn't totally fake. You're not fully immersed. You're looking through your camera and you see your house or your backyard. And augmented reality is going to insert one of these dinosaurs on your backyard. You're going to see what it looks like to have these monsters in your backyard. And I tried it and it worked. It was so cool. So let me give you the deets. First of all, if you're on Android, you're going to need an AR Core supported device. And we don't know if we have AR Core supported device. So let me tell you, it's just probably like a phone you bought in the last couple, 3 years. There is a place where you can look and see if your phone is listed. Search Google for ARCORE and developers supported devices. And you'll get this entire list, but there's a lot of phones on the list. I don't know anybody who's really going to be missing it if you have a recent phone. If you're on an Apple phone, if you're on iOS, you will need a device with iOS 11 or higher. I don't know how much higher it goes because I'm an Android. So basically, all you need to do is search for one of the dinosaurs featured in the Google app. That would be Tyrannosaurus Rex, Velociraptor, Triceratops, Spinosaurus, Stegosaurus, Brachiosaurus, Ankylosaurus, Diphososaurus, Pterodon, and a Parasaurophilus. Anyway, you will find the list on the internet. All you do is search for one of those in the Google browser. It's that simple. And once you do, you'll see in the listing, you know, see the dinosaur here or something like that. And you just tap on that. It accesses your camera. And then you're going to see your backyard, your living room, or whatever. You have to sketch the camera on the floor so it knows about how far it is because it sizes up and down the dinosaur. So, you know, it will fit in your house or in your backyard. So size isn't exact. But if you do this, you just, once you've done it, you hold up your camera, look at your backyard, and I had a Triceratops running around my backyard. It was so cool. I really recommend you do this. This is going to be great 4th of July family fun. So don't forget, use the Google app via Google. If you're in iOS, use Google on the iOS Chrome browser or on any browser on Android. It's fabulous. It's fun. And really, you'll get such a kick out of the dinosaurs. The kids will love it. Next, I wanted to give you a little warning, and this kind of freaked me out because I'm, as you know, I wrote the book eBay for Dummies. I'm very into selling and buying online. It seems that during the coronavirus, there's always a bad apple somewhere. They're putting up scam e-commerce sites that exist for only a few days. They rip off the customers and disappear. They charge the customer's credit card with no intention of ever shipping the product. They also appear to harvest credit card numbers, real home addresses, phone numbers, and email addresses. So they are bad people. So basically the scam is they'll have lots of ads on Facebook, Instagram, and mainstream websites using programmed ad tech, you know, the ones that just pop up. They take orders from consumers and charge credit cards, which is why I always like to pay via PayPal, because PayPal would throw a monkey wrench into their plan. Take a look at the website and see if you come to one of these and you want to order it. Take a look at whatever website they have. See if there's a contact us page. Is there a physical address? Is there a phone number? Or is it just an online form? Think about it, because that could mean it's not real. Also, maybe go back to the site after X number of days, a week, 2 weeks, and see if their site is still up, because they just disappear, and they disappear with everybody's money. It's really a travesty. If you want to really check out a website, there's a website called domaintools.com. That's domaintools.com. When you go to that website, you type in the name of the website, and you can find out when the website was invented. Usually these scammers put up their websites just a few days ago or a week ago. And you'll get to have all kinds of information as to what their IP address is, where they are. And just look for something suspicious. You won't believe how easy it is to spot it. But be very, very careful. These people are ripping people off at a high rate, and they're running the ads on Facebook and regular networks, so you can't tell. They're usually just the less than 100 days old. The registrants of the websites, when you check it on the Domain Tools, you'll see that the registrants are hidden or anonymized. The site will be built automatically with a Shopify e-commerce template, and you're going to see it everywhere. So please be careful. Remember, something that's cheap, you're always paying at one end. You may never get your merchandise, so be careful. An interesting thing also that I came across on a website called SciTech Daily is decontaminating N95 respirators using a microwave. Now, I don't know if you realize that UV light will work as a decontamination for surgical masks. If you have one of the special UV light wands, it will work. But now they have a new plan, and it's kind of interesting. Researchers from the Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, Harvard University, and Massachusetts General Hospital came up with a way to use a generic glass container, which is basically the size of a brownie pan. You know, they're kind of 7 6 by 6 by 6. And you can sterilize an N95 respirator. Basically, the short story is that you fill the pan with distilled water. You get it boiling. Before you get it boiling, you take, you know, the mesh that comes around produce from the supermarket? Okay, so you put that on top of the pan of water. Once it starts steaming, you can put the whole N95 respirator face down on top of the mesh. Now, realize the produce bag, you've got to hold it over the top of the pan with a rubber band. They suggest 60 milliliters of distilled water, and all you have to do is let it steam for 3 minutes in a 1,100-watt microwave, and most white microwaves today will cover that, and you're in business. Now, remember, I'm not a scientist. I'm not guaranteeing anything, but it did sound like it made a lot of sense. It came from a legit website, Sci-Fi Tech Daily, and just remember, brownie pan, produce bag, rubber band, 60 milliliters of distilled water, steam your mask for 3 minutes, and bingo, you should be good to go. Real quick, NASA made a necklace that reminds you not to touch your face. You can make it because they released all the technology, download a list of parts that you need, CAD designs to 3D print the case, and it's a cute little necklace. You can make it pretty much, nobody's charging you for it. If you search on Google for 3D printing near me, you can find someone to 3D print the little parts that you need. So it's really not an expensive thing because it's a small little necklace. And what it is a proximity sensor with a 12-inch range with a coin vibration motor. And it activates when you move your hands towards your head. The closer your fingers are, the more intense the vibrations get. It's called the pulse, and the object is to minimize the spread of the COVID virus because we've been told that you shouldn't be touching your eyes, nose, or mouth. So if you're looking for this, just search NASA pulse necklace on the internet. You'll find the link to the instructions, and it's easy. It really isn't hard, and it's kind of cool looking. So that's it. I'm all done. I hope you and your family have a happy 4th. And thank you for stopping by. And I'll see you next week because Nerdorama nerds are the best nerds ever. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Hey guys, Mo Kelly here. The new daily Nerdorama podcast is featured on iHeartRadio. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast feed to get your daily dose of nerd news. Also available on iTunes, Spreaker, and all the top podcasting apps. It's free and perfect for everyone in your nerd family.
Nerdorama is produced by Tuala Sharp and continues to be a segment on The Mo Kelly Show, weekends on KFI Los Angeles. Hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Nerdorama News.
Until next time, keep it comic.